I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
That's what I'm talking about. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Over the weekend, we saw the Kansas City Chiefs survive up against the Jaguars. The Eagles blow out the New York Football Giants. And then on Sunday, I thought we were going to get two great games. Well, Cowboys and 49ers was a tight one as the 49ers find a way to advance back to the NFC title game. But the Buffalo Bills got absolutely destroyed by the Cincinnati Bengals. And you could have said the Bengals are going to win heading into this weekend. I don't think anyone would have predicted a Bengals blowout victory. So let's go out to the guest line right now and welcome in one of the best analysts in the NFL right now. He works here for CBS Sports, and that's the great Charles Davis. CD, how you been?
I'm wonderful, Zach. How about yourself? How's everything going?
Well, all is good here, but I got to start you off in Buffalo. I know we could tip our cap to the defensive coordinator. We could talk about the greatness of Joe Burrow. How do you react to what you saw out of the Bills, though, yesterday?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to take any credit away from Cincinnati whatsoever, you know, because what I'm about to say feels like I'm taking some away. And I don't mean to do that at all, because Cincinnati controlled that game right from the word go. And it was as professional, surgical a game as I've seen played all year long. Every aspect by Cincinnati, offense, defense, special teams, the coaching aspect of it, how they prepared, how they executed. Even when the game seemed close, it didn't feel close. You know what I mean? Like, every time it felt like Buffalo had a chance to get back into it, Cincinnati made sure that didn't happen. But how about how Burrow came out and was so good and so effective right from the beginning? The way they ran the football, considering three offensive linemen were not starters to begin the season. Two of them in recent weeks just had to play. Adeniji at least played a lot last year. All that being said, I really think, and I have to be really careful here, DeMar Hamlin, that situation, the unfortunate, everything that happened with it, in terms of making sure they were connected with him, honoring him, caring about him, all those things, I think it emotionally sapped that team. They just looked, watching them play, Cincinnati was the better football team, but I never saw Buffalo with the ability to mash the gas as they have so often throughout the last few seasons. They just looked spent. And I've seen it so many different times when teams have had to confront tragedy, had to deal with situations similar to what Buffalo dealt with. It wears on a team. You'll never hear them talk about it. They will never say it because it'd be a betrayal of sorts. But it does get to you. It is a difficult thing to do that. Have you know, you and me in their locker room every day asking them what's going on with DeMar. Have you talked to him? Did he talk to the team? What's the inspiration? Are you carrying him with you? You see where I'm going with all this. All the things that are going to happen, it's what you have to deal with and live with. But I did think it took a toll on that Buffalo team.
The only thing I'll say, and we don't know what's true or not, and you may be right, but him being in that building and him being able to be at the game and be around the guys the last few days, as we heard, wouldn't that even, you would think, uplift them more?
You would think so, but how many times have we said the same thing over the last couple of weeks? He's been in the building every day. You know, he's been around the team. This is much more, this is less about DeMar being with them than it is, I think, Zach, about people like you and me, meaning us media types, right? being around them and asking them all the things. And every question about it was tinged with a DeMar Hamlin question in it. Everything. That's what they were asking about. That's what Sean McDermott had to address. That's what Josh Allen had to address. And none of them were doing it not wanting to. But I will just tell you, in my years on this earth, I've been around this enough. When I was a PGA Tour tournament director, Payne Stewart was lost in a plane crash. The next year, all of our tournaments were almost trying to outdo each other in honoring Payne Stewart. My tournament was one of the last ones. I actually talked with officials at the PGA Tour headquarters, like, what do we do? And they're like, nothing. There's nothing left to do. It is a tough thing. I'll bet you if you asked Eric Bieniemy, who played at Colorado with Sal and Nessie, what it was like that season honoring Sal, leaving a seat open on the plane, you know, taking his uniform with him to every ball game. If you were to ask the Eagles, who lost Jerome Brown, who did essentially the same thing, and honoring him, it wears on you after a while. Whether and no one means it to be a bad thing, but it does. There's an extra element you're carrying with you all the time. So for every bit of it that's uplifting, the rest of us are bringing all that into it as well. And I do think emotionally, it's a tough thing to cast. I would just tell you, Zach, I don't know any team that's gone through something like that, that's had to do it over an extended period of time, that's culminated with a championship. It is a hard, hard thing to do. And I know that it sounds like, oh, no. Everyone in Buffalo did all the right things. The league did the right things. DeMar Hamlin's done the right thing. It's just the byproduct, the unintended consequence that goes along with it. And would anyone in Buffalo change a single thing in terms of how they've cared about him, what they're doing? No, absolutely not. But that team looked like it was emotionally spent when I saw him play on Sunday.
Charles Davis here with us. You look at the way that this team is constructed in Buffalo, and I think most of us all throughout the year said that we thought they were one of, if not the best rosters in football.
Yeah.
But defensively, they had no pass rush yesterday. On their offensive line, their offensive line looked problematic. And this is something I think is fair all throughout the year. We talked about they put too much on Josh Allen's plate and they don't have enough of a run game. Does there need to be some major changes in Buffalo to get this team to where they should be at the end of the year?
I don't know about major. I do think that this team is still a very, it's an excellent roster. If they hadn't played the way they played on Sunday, I don't think we'd have quite as many questions, but I think the questions you raise are legitimate ones. For me, I've said it for over 2 years now, a legit running back that you can count on, especially in December and January, with some size and some heft, and you're taking the third and short run game off of Josh Allen, I've always thought that that was someone that was needed. You know, I've talked about that for forever. Like when James Cook got drafted last year at the draft, I was like, I would think bigger back. I'm not saying James Cook's not a good player, but they don't have the big back that can thump and can carry you when you need to have him carried. I still think that that's a need. They'll continue to try and fortify the offensive line. I mean, Ryan Bates has done a nice job there getting Saffold this year, although he's starting to get up there a little bit in years. Mitchell Morris is a very good center. Deion Dawkins, you know, I think the offensive line's good. They didn't play as well as they played before on Sunday, but the Bengals front has a lot to do with it. Receivers, we know what they've got. We know how explosive they are. I still think you want to take something off of Josh Allen's plate. And he is their primary third and short yardage running back. I just would try and find someone else for that task if I'm Buffalo. And the flip side is the pressure they didn't get, those guys are going to have to figure it out because Leslie Frazier's crew is not a big blitz crew. The only time I saw him really break from that this year was at Baltimore when we had them. They were down 20-3 before you could blink that. And he's like, I've got to find something. And he blitzed to try and keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket as much as he did in terms of passing. And they had success that day and came all the way back and got him. But overall, they're not a big blitz unit. But that's why they drafted Greg Rousseau. That's why they drafted Boogie Basham. That's why Ed Oliver's there. Those guys got to start having more of an effect in games like Sunday.
talking to Charles Davis right now. A head coaching hiring in this league is so tricky. I never know what teams look for. How many times do I get told there's this hotshot offensive coordinator, great defensive coordinator, and they're just not great head coaches? What do you know about Lou Anarumo? Because the last 2 years, Charles, he has dominated this postseason as the DC for the Bengals.
Yeah, and what I know about him is having done games in Cincinnati, you know, in the last few years when he's been the defensive coordinator there, got to know him a little bit. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, Zach, you know, oh, Lou and I, you know, we have cigars and brandy and, you know, no, okay, that's not it. But being around him, talking with players, talking with other people in the league, watching them play and watching what they do, I know we are hung up right now in the hiring cycle of the hotshot offensive guy. That's kind of where we've been the last few seasons. I've often thought the right hire is a person who commands the respect of the people in the room, whether it's the front office that he works with or it's the team that he has. Lou Anarumo fits that perfectly. Like, if I were a GM, he would be my ideal candidate to be my head coach, because I'm going to get all the other stuff. We'll talk about that. It's not like Lou doesn't have contacts about who's going to run his offense, who's going to do this, this, and this. But the instant respect people have for him, how he relates to his players, how they want to play for him, go to Cincinnati. It's real easy. It won't take you long. You probably say, Lou, Zach, and next thing you know, you get a barrage of words in favor of him by the guys that he coaches. So he, for whatever reason, is going under the radar. I know everybody wants to find the hotshot offensive guy, and I've got to fix my quarterback and this, that, and everything. I think the best coaches are the ones that can command a room, the ones that people are going to respect. Sean McDermott's not a hotshot offensive coordinator, but Buffalo is always right there. You know, every guy we have that's winning it, Parcells was never that. Belichick was never that. I know where the cycle is, but I still think the person that people respect is really the guy that you need to have leading your team.
Charles Davis with us. I know it's Monday. It's early in the week. Mahomes coming off the ankle injury. The Bengals have defeated the Chiefs three straight times. Who do you give the edge to in the AFC title game right now?
Cincinnati. I know Mahomes' ankle is an issue, but I look at it this way. Cincinnati has shown us in this win streak that they can beat you up in the run game, and that eliminated and took away some of the concerns about the offensive line, where they had a left tackle out, a right guard out, right tackles out for the season. By being able to run the ball, those linemen got a chance to get comfortable playing the game. When they're not worried about twists and stunts and hurries, you know, it's almost like the original Top Gun. Where'd he go? Where'd who go? You don't have to worry about that. You fire off and you hit someone, you open up a hole, and mix it bounces through it. Burrow being Burrow, of course. That defense we just talked about, they play with what they call unconscious confidence. They trust where everyone's going to be at all times, and that person is there. They have the edge to me because they can do those sorts of things. Kansas City, what I worry about most with them is on the defensive side of the ball, and I love Steve Spagnuolo. He knows that, and that's not the issue. The issue is they feel like they're built to play with a 14-0 lead. They feel like the Colts under Peyton Manning, not standing there and rock 'em sock 'em with you if that's how the game is going to go. We're going to find out in this one Sunday, because I think Cincinnati's going to test them really early. How are you going to handle us running the football and us staying with it? Chris Jones, Derek Nnadi, Nick Bolton, the middle linebacker, that's the Bermuda Triangle of their defense inside. If they can't hold up against the run, it's going to be a long afternoon for them. Now, if somehow Kansas City sprints out to the front again as they did last year in the AFC title game, Zach, this year they're not getting off the gas. See, that's where they got hurt last year. They played not to lose in the second half, and it cost them. And Patrick Mahomes has talked about he's burned to have another opportunity. Obviously, he won't be 100% healthy. But if that game somehow where Kansas City sprints and gets a 2-3 touchdown lead as they did last year, don't expect Kansas City to play the way that they did last year, where they kind of tried to sit on it. They'll keep punching. They'll keep going. And that's where they play at their best. But if Cincinnati is able to run the ball, control things early, I think it's a, tough task for Kansas City because they're just not built to stand in there and slug versus those types of teams.
How about in the NFC? Who do you give the edge to as well on this Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show? We're talking to Charles Davis. It's coming up on Sunday in the first game. You'll have San Francisco visiting Philly.
Whoever on the offensive line, if their offensive line, either offensive line, is able to not just control the front, but climb to the second level and handle linebackers scraping over the top, because both of them, their linebackers do a nice job of coming up and making tackles after the front is cleaned up, that's the team that will have the advantage. I picked San Francisco a month ago. I'm not going to change, even though I saw a Philadelphia that looked like the Philadelphia that scared the heck out of everybody for most of the season. Boy, they look good against the Giants. But San Francisco, they can beat you every which way. It's similar to Philadelphia. I think the San Francisco has enough to where they can play around Purdy as long as he doesn't make mistakes, as he did on Sunday, did make mistakes. And that defense is really good, as is Philadelphia's. There's really not much of an advantage here, Zach. This is much more of a flip a coin in the air. But I like San Francisco a month ago. I like them to go on the road and find a way to beat Philadelphia.
What do you make of Daniel Jones? Because he had a good season. I know he doesn't have much around him, but it looked like at times, and I was in that building just watching what was on the field in front of me, it looked like they weren't trusting him in that game up against the Eagles a little bit.
I just think they got overwhelmed early, Zach. I don't think there was anyone who had a chance in that one. You know, when you look at that season overall, the reason Brian Daboll is going to win Coach of the Year is he took a team, that roster, that when you sit down and go person by person,
not good.
And he got to the playoffs, they overachieved much of the year. And that's not a slight against them. I would hope that no one would be upset over hearing that. But let's be frank about it. Who scares you? Barkley scares you, and Daniel Jones had to be a full-scale runner in order to scare you on offense. Who scared you out wide? Darius Slayton?
Nope. Isaiah Hodgins? Nope.
Okay. Tight end. Who's going to scare you? You know, you don't have that. You don't have the people. I said that about New England. I had
you're 100% right.
And I was like, you know, this is the problem with their offense is there's not a defense coordinator in the league that stayed up an extra hour at night worried about who would decimate his defense. Now, if you make a mistake, they're pros. They'll beat you. But overall, were you terrified that someone would go over the top? No, they didn't have that person. The Giants overall, Saquon Barkley was that person. And Daniel Jones was a tremendous accessory when all that was working. If it's not working, as we saw in Philadelphia, there was no one there to fill the void.
Dak did not play his best game, obviously, yesterday. No. I look at him as a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, and that's a big difference in this league. All they asked him to do yesterday was got to get to 20 points. He didn't even have to play great yesterday. I know it's easier said than done about the Niners, but what an abysmal end to the season for the Cowboys.
Yeah, that was a tough one for him because it went from Monday night where that Dak Prescott was tremendous. Everything locked in, sharp, decisive, ran the ball, threw the ball. Boy, they looked good, didn't they? The San Francisco has a way of doing that just about everybody, don't they? D'Amico Ryans is getting head coaching nods for a reason. That defense just strangles people. And every time Dallas had a chance to make a play, San Francisco was there to gum up the works. And then Dak could not find that play that they needed. What was their longest run yesterday? It was on that 4th-and-4, and Dak ran for 11. I think he got CeeDee Lamb one time for a play over 20 yards. They really, really choked down all the big stuff that Dallas had, and Dak couldn't find his breakthrough. And in a game like that, as you mentioned, if you could just get to 20, you're a winner and you walk away and you get to the NFC title game. San Francisco just wouldn't let it happen.
Charles Davis, always great to catch up with you. Always appreciate your insight. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Zach. You take care of yourself. Continued success to you.
Thank you so much. Charles Davis, one of the best in the business, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We'll talk about two quarterbacks in the last 2 weeks that had disappointing ends to their season and why I don't think there's that much room for improvement for either quarterback. We'll come on back.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. This NFL postseason, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free, all on the road to Super Bowl 57. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app at WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. It's all sponsored by AutoZone, the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. Can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Hickey, I know Cowboys fans aren't going to like what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's tough luck if you can't deal with this. There's one other quarterback in the NFL that I kind of feel, not kind of, I do feel the same way about as I do with Dak Prescott. Can you guess who that quarterback is?
Definitely. Kirk Cousins.
100%. Aren't they the same player? The same way you feel about them. Where Kirk Cousins, you know he's a good quarterback. Do you ever think that you consistently have the top 10 quarterback in the league? No. Dak Prescott, there's times he looks like a top 10 quarterback. He's probably a better player than Kirk Cousins. But in a big spot, just like you do with Kirk, you don't trust him. And when we look at Kirk Cousins, he's the first person you think about on that offense. Justin Jefferson, not the quarterback. This year, if you watch the Dallas Cowboys, their most valuable player on offense, Tony Pollard, not the quarterback. And it's kind of tough to do what Dak Prescott did this year. He led the league in interceptions, and he missed five games. That's impossible to do, and he found a way to do it. Now, there's moments where Dak looks great. But when the highlight of your career or the highlight of your season is a game up against Tampa, when Tampa was 8-9 in the playoffs, and that's when you played your best football. And I know they went into Minnesota, they beat up on the Minnesota Vikings 40-3. Now, I know they won big in that game up against the Vikings 40-3. But when your highlight and your biggest moment of the season is how you played up against a team that was the worst team to get into the postseason this year with a below 500 record, that's a problem. And yesterday, I know the Niners defense is the best defense in the league. I know the Niners are great. But Hickey, you'll even admit it. And you thought that the Niners are going to win 38-13. That was a winnable game yesterday for Dallas. They were right there. That was a back and forth game. And the moment when McCaffrey made it a 16-9 game, it was okay. You know the Cowboys were going to get other opportunities, but you never felt that they were going to pull through. And how many times were they going to be gifted moments yesterday? Driving before the end of the half, couldn't get the job done. You get a gift punt that was muffed. You only get 3 points. You took over, what, inside the 25 and 30-yard line? You only get 3 points there? You get a great kickoff return, or yes, I get it, the kickoff return, man, has to bounce it out to the outside and beat the punter. But you guys did nothing with that. And late, you get the ball. You know you got to go down the field and get a touchdown. You go 3 and out, and you almost took a safety. I get it. You can tell me they lost Tony Pollard. All teams deal with injuries. Yes, Zeke isn't the most explosive back anymore. We know that. You have CeeDee Lamb. Michael Gallup, I think we started to realize, he's a good player. You need another wide receiver. Well, then don't trade Amari Cooper. But I don't want to hear the excuses. You pay that man $40 million. $40 million. The defense played well enough yesterday to get a victory. But on offense, your quarterback let you down. It reminded me a lot of Kirk Cousins when Kirk Cousins was in Minnesota and they went to that playoff game in New Orleans. He played great. He outplayed Drew bleeping Brees. And then the next week, what happened? Up against San Francisco, early second half, threw a pick to Richard Sherman. Dak Prescott on Monday was awesome. Dak Prescott on Monday was great. And they beat the living snot out of the Buccaneers. But then at the end of the week, just like Kirk Cousins was a few years ago up against the Niners, Dak Prescott had a chance to win the game. And he did everything in his power to be the main reason why they lost the game. Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, very similar. Good quarterbacks, not great quarterbacks. And every time you watch Dak and Kirk in a big spot, and I'm not just talking about a wild card round victory. When you get later and later and you get those opportunities to maybe play in the second round or you get into a big game, I don't trust them when you watch the game play out. And this is coming from someone that picked Dallas to win yesterday. But when I'm sitting there watching Dak get the ball back, I'm like, why should I expect him to go march down the field? He wasn't able to do it all game. So, heck yeah, I think they're very similar.
I agree. And I'll be honest, part of my, I guess, reaction from the game is confusion with all of the, like, disappointment towards Dak. Like, people were expecting him to come through.
Horrible.
Like, but it's like, why were there all these expectations to think that Dak's going to come through in this spot against the number one defense in the NFL where
sure. He
hasn't really done it ever?
But you got to look at the way that the game played out. The way that the game played out, we weren't asking Dak Prescott to move mountains yesterday. You were asking him to be serviceable. You have a serviceable quarterback yesterday. They win the game. That game was there for the taking. There was multiple mistakes made by the Niners in that game. The Niners did almost everything yesterday to invite the Cowboys to pull off the upset. And anytime the Cowboys got close to maybe like taking the cheese and walking out there with the victory, that mousetrap just slammed right shut. But they made it almost so, like, I don't want to say easy, but they gave him every opportunity for Dallas to win. And still, Dak Prescott vomited on himself in a big spot.
Which, again, to me, is not surprising at all. Like, how this game played out, I thought, again, the Niners would win a lot more comfortably. But it's like to see this Dallas offense struggle is the least surprising thing ever. You mentioned, you know, some of the weapons that they have or really don't have that are not a lot of explosive playmakers. The offensive, you know, coordinated with Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy putting the offense together leaves a lot to be desired. Dak Prescott has been a turnover machine this year. Two more picks. What a shock. Should have been three or four. At least he got lucky with a few as well. It's like it's just all like how his season ended. It's kind of fitting. Because that's how he's been for most of his career in a big game here. When you need your quarterback to step up, Dak has never been the guy. And it's just, for me at least, another, you know, ending that is not really surprising. The only surprising part, honestly, is that in fact it was only 7 points and not 17 or 24.
We'll get to a news brief next. We will unpack the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show. For your daily news brief, we get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, let's start things off with Patrick Mahomes. I'm wanting to play through his ankle injury. We know Mahomes did come back, but he had to miss some time as they sent him to the locker room. Here's Patrick Mahomes.
I obviously didn't want to go back and see it. I didn't want to go get the x-rays or whatever it was. I wanted just to continue to play. I told him I would do it at halftime, but Coach, I mean, in the best interest of me, he made me go back there and get that x-ray before he put me back in the game. And for a while, I thought I could get and play through it, and then he said, I'm not putting you back in, so you might as well go get the x-ray, and then if it's negative or whatever, I'll put you back in. So,
Andy Reid then describes that process to decide whether to put Mahomes back in the game or not.
It was hard getting him out of the game, first of all. He wanted to fight, and so... we got him out, went to the x-ray, got it x-rayed, looked at, taped. He came back and he said he felt good enough to be protected, you know, where he's not going to get hurt. That's obviously the primary thing.
You know what's weird about that, Hickey? I wonder what the actual process was in order to make Andy Reid say, okay, you got to go get an x-ray. Like, we all saw the injury. And it was a nasty, gruesome-looking injury, and you saw him limping around on the field. It really didn't make sense for him to stay in on the end of that drive. You didn't know how effective he was, and it was, like, mesmerizing to me how once he came back in, he was able to be, like, Patrick Mahomes, right, and finish that game. But I wonder if it was, like, the doctors who told Andy, yo, we cannot put him back until we go get him x-rays. Is it at all Andy knowing his importance to the team and Patrick Mahomes and knowing how much money's tied up to him? I just wonder how the protocols went about because they made it seem as if it was a conversation between Andy and Mahomes. Mahomes like, you're not taking me off the field. And it was kind of left up to Andy Reid to decide, well, Patrick, okay, we could go play you or you go get the x-ray. It seemed like the coach actually looked out for the best interest of the player in some way, which very rarely does happen.
Well, it goes to if you're Andy Reid, I mean, I feel like in this instance, common sense won out because
yes.
He got hurt. He stayed in. I mean, he could barely, again, hand the ball off.
I thought this was like Byron Leftwich in that game all those years ago as Lyman had
Marshall.
To like help him.
Right, when
Marshall,
he broke his ankle, right?
Wild.
It felt like the same thing. So if you're Andy Reid, you're watching, you say, okay, I just cannot, and whether it's good conscience or just like, even honestly, at one point, you have like, for the health of my team, is this really the best thing we need right now? Or is a fully healthy Chad Henne, you know, the best option?
Because how many times does a player get asked by the coach, are you good enough to go? And the player says yes. And then they go, okay, get back in the game. In this case, it was Andy Reid who was begging Mahomes to get off the field. And basically had to kind of put his foot down, no pun intended here, and go, until we find out that x-ray is good, you're not stepping back on the field. So I actually commend Andy Reid for that in a playoff game nonetheless.
Not the first time, too, that Chad Henne's got to step up to the plate after an injury and come up clutch.
Tyreek Hill on that out route.
Against the Browns, 2020, fourth down in your own territory. Ballsy.
Right at midfield, right?
That it was. That a little different, you know, 98-yard drive in the second quarter compared to game on the line in the fourth quarter, fourth and three in your own end. But either way, Chad Henne, to his credit, doesn't play a lot when he's been called upon in big moments in the playoffs. So guys can't do any wrong.
Also, I'll say this too. If that was this weekend against the Bengals, I don't know if Andy Reid is saying go get the x-ray. I think the opponent matters here. Where you're going up against Jacksonville. I know that Doug and Andy are so close and Jacksonville's had a wonderful season. I think Andy was maybe thinking about next week as well. Just a little bit. That's just me. Doug Peterson on his message to his team after the game.
Just told him I was proud of him for the season that we put together. Nobody expected us, the Jaguars, to be in this football game from the beginning of the season to today. And I just told them how proud I was of them for how they hung together all season long, how they battled, fought through a ton of adversity.
Yeah, this is a win for the Jaguars this year. To be in the playoffs, you win a playoff game, you're number one overall pick, and you got Trevor Lawrence to play like Trevor Lawrence. It's an absolute win. I don't care that they lost this game. Similarly to the Giants. They built their culture. They won a playoff game. They did better than anyone asked. I know it ends in a bad way, but you at least build the foundation of what you need there with the Jaguars and then also just the culture that needs to be brought back with the Giants. I will say, though, about Doug Peterson. When he was hired in Philadelphia, everyone hated it. When Nick Sirianni was hired in Philadelphia, everyone hated it as well. People quickly did a 180 on Doug. People quickly did a 180 on Nick Sirianni. I don't know about you, Hickey. I absolutely love Nick Sirianni. Even though the Pizza Hut thing was a little questionable, I think he a little had the munchies last week. He is a quote machine.
He's fun. Even in the camera, they're scoring touchdowns. He's celebrating, looking in the camera.
He's Philadelphia.
He's got a lot of swagger.
Now, he does a weekly interview with Angelo Cataldi. I don't think this is on the cut sheet. And I guess Angelo, who I used to intern for, is very critical of Jonathan Gannon. Because Angelo kind of speaks for the fans, all the fans, for whatever the reasons are this year, which I don't get. They've been very critical of Jonathan Gannon. Sirianni in the press conference goes, I can't wait to talk to Angelo on Monday. He goes, I want to talk to him about Jonathan Gannon. It's ridiculous how he gets crap from our fans and from our media. I listened to the interview. Sirianni gave 16 stats today and one answer. 16! Defending Jonathan Gannon. He's awesome, Sirianni. Here's Nick Sirianni comparing Jalen Hurts. Listen to this one. To Michael Jordan.
I know this is high praise, but to have him out there is like having Michael Jordan out there. Like, he's your leader. He's your leader. He's your guy. He's your, like, that's, hopefully that's the biggest respect I can pay to him, comparing to his ability to be in on the field to a Michael Jordan type. Like, this guy leads, brings this calmness to the entire team. He plays great football. He's tough as they come.
I said it earlier and I'll say it again. I don't think there are two better leaders in the NFL right now, Hickey, when it comes to players, than Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts.
Hard-pressed to find someone in that category. They're tremendous. Like, and they've both changed cultures.
I'm sure people could give you great arguments for other players, but you look at what Burrow has done. He took the Bengals from being the number one overall pick to a few years after that, being in the Super Bowl, and now could be on their way to another Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl. And the entire team believes everything Joe Burrow says. Jalen Hurts, we all looked at him last year as like a good quarterback, but can he take them to the next level? Not only is he taking the next level, you have guys that have won Super Bowls in that locker room. Guys that are legends in Philadelphia, like Lane Johnson and Brandon Graham, that are following the lead of Jalen Hurts. Hurts is awesome. Let's hear Jalen Hurts. He's happy that all the hard work the Eagles put in did pay off.
And to come out there and play the way we did tonight, I'm proud of this group. I'm proud of this team. I'm proud of the preparation that we put in to get to where we are. So a lot to be grateful for, but it was earned during the week.
And you could tell he comes from the Saban school of let's not give anything to the media. I was at his press conference. And he gives thoughtful responses, but he gives you nothing. But that's what you want in a quarterback. Now, on the other hand, talk about a guy that we just commended for his leadership. I love Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow gives you everything. And Joe Burrow could be the coolest quarterback in football right now. And he told all Buffalo Bills fans, you better return and get those refunds on those AFC championship tickets.
We talked about it yesterday, just that chip on your shoulder. Everyone talking about a neutral AFC championship game, not even thinking about you guys. How much did that motivate you coming into this?
You better send those refunds.
That's great. Great job out of Tracy Wolfson from CBS. You better send those refunds. I love, though, too, when a team is so good and they need to find a way to use motivation. Because what was the NFL supposed to do? You had to sell those tickets before the game. And there's tons of teams that don't even make the playoffs that their fans could buy postseason tickets to before the postseason starts with their season tickets. Or you could buy all throughout the playoffs and things like that. But I love how the Bengals, Hickey, genuinely found a way to use that as motivation, where they were actually annoyed about it. Starting with Joe Mixon, then Joe Burrow right on his mind right after that game.
It's Brady-like. It's Tom Brady-like. It's Nick Saban-like as well, where he finds... even compliments and somehow turns him into, like, quote-unquote digs against his team.
It's extremely early. No one will ever be Brady, but Joe Burrow, he does remind you like Brady. A lot of times people use Brady as a comp, and I roll my eyes. I do not do so when people do that when talking about Joe Burrow. Let's go to Sean McDermott. What went wrong for the Buffalo Bills?
You've heard me talk about this before. If you want to win games on a consistent basis, that's where the game starts. It's there, and it's at the quarterback position, and we didn't do enough, I would say, overall at the line of scrimmage tonight. Give the Bengals credit, but you probably saw what I saw.
Josh Allen says the offense never got in gear.
Couldn't find it. I thought we moved the ball when we had some of our possessions, but the two early three and outs, just stalling throughout the game. You can't win football games that way.
Yeah, they didn't do anything well yesterday, Hickey. Quarterback stunk. They couldn't run the football. Receivers weren't good. Offensive line was bad. Defensive line got no rush on three backup offensive linemen. Can you think of one thing the Buffalo Bills did well yesterday? They got outcoached. They got outplayed in every facet of the game. It was horrible. Left the field better? Like, seriously? They did nothing.
Yeah, honestly, I was trying to give you some sarcastic answer, to be honest.
You can't even have a witty response to this.
No, I can't give you one.
It was horrible. Let's go to Dak Prescott. He says he has to cut down on his turnovers.
Can't happen. And the number that has gotten to is ridiculous. And I can promise that the number will never be this again. I can promise that.
What do those words mean? Those words mean nothing to me. All right, let's hear more Dak. He says the Cowboys will be back.
There's no doubt that we'll be back in this position. It's just about winning. No doubt. No doubt at all. I mean, it all sucks right now. It all sucks. Don't get me wrong. But there's no doubt that we'll be back. And that gives me confidence, gives anybody in that locker room confidence, I hope.
So, Hickey, like, I think the Bills will be back when we're just talking about the Bills and the Cowboys. I don't know if Dallas is going to be back next year. I don't know if they're going to be a playoff team. I also don't know if they're going to be able to win a playoff game. Like Buffalo, I think they'll be in another divisional round next year or in the immediate future. For Dallas, you got a quarterback that's paid like he's a great quarterback who's good. I don't know what the future is of Tony Pollard, and now he got hurt, and he's a free agent. Zeke may not be on the team next year. CeeDee Lamb is good. I know they have a solid defense. But do I have confidence that Dallas is going to be back in this spot? I don't. You?
When you say back, like literally back in the same spot, divisional round, no. I think they'll be a playoff team probably early on, early read, because the NFC is not very, like, I agree. Like,
but every year
the Cowboys,
there's a few teams that pop up that come out of nowhere, right? Every year.
To Mike McCarthy and Dak's credit, 2 years in a row, they have been a very good regular season team.
They have been.
So right now, I would say they get back to the playoffs.
Fine, they get back to the playoffs. Do you
no
expect
confidence
any difference
in winning a playoff game?
In the result?
No, exactly. Not.
Okay. Mike McCarthy says the offense needed to make more plays.
I thought defensively, you know, we did a really good job, you know, for the most part. But, yeah, would we like to have a couple more stops? Yes. Do we need more third down conversions on offense? Yes, we could use that too.
Yeah, your offense sucked. That's why you lost the game. Jerry Jones says Mike McCarthy will be back next season.
Jerry, you said before the Tampa Bay game that nothing that happened that night could impact your thoughts on head coach Mike McCarthy. Does a result like this change anything in your mind with him?
No. No. No, not at all.
I think we need to wait until tomorrow, Hickey, because it is a little bit bizarre to me that he canceled his interview and Steven didn't do his interview today that they usually do at 105.3 The Fan. That makes me think, yeah, tough loss. Maybe you don't want to speak, but he did speak right after the game. Maybe they're discussing internally. But until I'm told otherwise, I kind of think McCarthy's going to be back. You?
Same, yeah. I'd be, at this point, shocked if he's fired.
It's just weird that Jerry Jones, who always speaks on these radio shows today, didn't do his interview, and neither did Stephen Jones, from what I was reading on Twitter. So, who knows? I guess nothing could ever surprise you with the Cowboys, but I do feel as if McCarthy will be back next year with the Cowboys. Come on back when we do return. We'll talk about those two disappointing teams in the Buffalo Bills and the Dallas Cowboys and where they go from here to have a different result in 2023.
listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.